In the second pasuk in this week's parasha, so the Torah introduces the mitzvah of karbanos. We read, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban mashem. If a person from amongst you shall bring a sacrifice to God. There are two features in this phrase that are odd. The first is the use of the word Adam. The expected term would have been ish, or perhaps ish o isha, as many other legal passages in the Torah are introduced with that phrase. In fact, the word ish is not found a single time in this week's parsha. The noun used to describe a generic person bringing a karban is nefesh. The second oddity is the order of the words. My translation a moment ago assumed that the word mikem is attached to Adam. Adam ki yakriv mikem korban lahashem. It's really Adam mikem ki yakriv korban lahashem. This is in fact Ibn Ezra's first interpretation, that the word is me'uchar. But the question is, why? Why would the word be out of order? Ibn Ezra does suggest another possibility, that we are commanded to bring sacrifices, mikem, from ourselves, adam ki akriv mikem, that is our own property and not from that which belongs to other people, akin to the medrash that Rashi cites on Adam. Why does the Torah say Adam? Because Adam arishon lo hikriv min hagezel, because everything belonged to him, so too we have to bring from our own, not from gezel. But I would like to suggest something else, which touches upon the real message of karbanos, of animal sacrifice, and the true worship of God, to explain why nefesh is used and why the words are out of order. In his commentary on this week's Sedra, the Ramban cites a passage from the Mor Nevuchim in which the Rambam explains that the Torah's incorporation of ritual animal sacrifice was to undermine the idolatrous beliefs of the cultures from which the Jewish people had come. The Rambam understands that the choice of the three specific animals, the bakar and the keves and the eis, was to mock and nullify the beliefs of cultures that held that those specific animals were sacrosanct. In another passage in the Moreh, not cited here in the Ramban, but I presume in the back of his mind, and the one that is much more well known, Rambam asserts that the entire institution of animal sacrifice was merely an attempt to wean the Jews off of idolatry. That is, that they were surrounded by cultures in which this was the standard mode of worship of the divine, and to expect them to abandon this cold turkey would have been, from an emotional and psychological perspective, unrealistic. Ramban takes strong exception to Rambam's view. Amongst a number of objections that he lodges, he believes that it is inconceivable that the elaborate ritual around animal sacrifice, which takes up a huge part of the Torah, has no purpose other than this. On the level of pshat, he cites the interpretation of Ibn Ezra that the purpose of karbanos, particularly those karbanos whose purpose was to expunge sin, karbanos of kapara, the asham b'chatas, was to have a ritual involving thoughts, speech, and actions to correspond to the steps involved when a person sins. Leaning on the animal represents the actions, the vidui, the confession, which one makes when leaning on the animal, represents the speech, and the burning of the innards, including the kidneys, the kleios, which were understood by people in the past as serving to provide a person with counsel, hakleios yoatzos, remind us of the involvement of thoughts in our sinning. According to Ibn Ezra, seeing the blood placed on the altar and the various parts burned on it is supposed to remind us that by dint of our sin, that should have been our blood and our body, but God in his great compassion, his rahmanas, has allowed a substitute. I believe that Ibn Ezra's approach is fundamentally correct, but I want to expand a little further on what the ritual sacrifice teaches us about the service of the Ribono Shel Olam. Three things. First, the importance of showing up and doing so on a consistent basis. The Mishnah in Tainus tells us that not only were there 24 families of Kohanim, and 24 families of Levim who served on a rotational basis in the Beis HaMikdash, but the rest of the Jewish people also were divided into 24 units, and each week representative of that week's unit would travel to Yerushalayim and spend the days in the Beis HaMikdash watching the Karbanos. The rationale behind this was, Heich Karbano Shal Adam Kare, V'hu Eino Omed Al Gavav. How is it possible that your Karban is being brought and you're not standing there, bringing it, watching it? When an individual would bring a sacrifice, the norm was that they showed up. They didn't just send the animal. And thus, when the daily Karbanos of the community were being brought, the community needed to be present as well. Omed Al Gavav. Hence, this representation of what was known as the Ma'amados. One needs to show up. And sacrifice is mandated every day. There is a popular medrash, which actually doesn't exist, cited in the introduction to the Ein Yaakov, which is responding to a debate as to what is the foundational principle of Torah. One Tana said that the foundational principle, the Klal Gadol, is Be'ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. Another one said, Ze Sefer Toldos Adam. In this version of the Medrash, one of the Tanoim, I believe Ben Azai, says that it is Hasakeves Hoechod Ta'asev Aboker, consistently showing up to serve God day in, day out. That is the first pillar of the service of God. The second is the importance of giving of oneself, materially speaking. Animals were once the primary source, or a primary source, of wealth in an agrarian society. One cannot underestimate the visceral impact of bringing an animal as a sacrifice, not only from the vantage point of the blood, but also from watching one's assets be expended in the service of God. There are a couple of contexts in Sefer Vayikra which the Torah assigns a sliding scale sacrifice depending upon one's wealth. Because part of the power of sacrifice, of the sacrifices that atoned, and the power of the karbanos that were gifts to God, the nedavos, stem from the financial sacrifices that were entailed in bringing the karban. And the Torah was well aware of the differing impact between the wealthy and the poor. The Torah begins the second perek of this week's parsha, describing the karban mincha. V'nefesh ki sakrib karban mincha l'Hashem. Rashi, citing Chazal, explains that the term nefesh, soul, is used because typically the person bringing a karban mincha was poor. As a result of the financial sacrifice entailed in even such a seemingly paltry offering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu regards it as if this person has sacrificed their nefesh to God. Rashi also cites the Gemara, the Mishnah at the end of Menachos, noting that the expression, the Reach Nicholach Lashem, is used both by the Karban Ola of an animal and the Karban Ola of a bird, to teach us that Echad Amarbe VeEchad Amamid Ruvad SheYechaven Eslivo LaShamayim, that giving more or less doesn't matter, actually. It really depends upon what your intent is. And the person who gives less because they have less is doing as much as the person who has more and gives more. Finally, the third central element of Avodah is giving of oneself on a personal, emotional, and psychological level. It is worth considering that almost all of the karbanos of a private individual required smicha, leaning on the animal. When the karban involved was a sin offering, it was an asham or a chatas, then a formal vidui, a confession, was required while performing the smicha. But the ola and the shlamim, which were not brought for expiation of sin, also required the smicha. And to the best of my knowledge, Chazal do not speak of what one did during the smicha. There was no vidui. But I would suggest to you that this was a time not of confession, but introspection. Not confession for sins done, but for considering what was inside a person, what was at one's core. As support for this, we might even point to a tradition recorded in the Yerushalmi at the end of Maseches Yoma, that the Ola atoned for Hirhurei Halev, the thoughts of the heart. Because while a human basin only punishes for actions performed, our obligations as aspiring Avdei Hashem demand that not only our actions, but our thoughts, attitudes, and values also be shaped by God's demands. We are commanded to love God b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol modecha. Today, we no longer have a standing Beis HaMikdash nor Karbanos, but the lessons of Karbanos should still be central to the way that we serve God. I think that most of us understand the first two, some perhaps more than others, but I think that we all get it. Showing up to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in the context of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, we understand. Sacrificing financially to serve God, most of us grasp, although not everybody perhaps appreciates the merit of giving is not determined by the amount given, but by the proportionality of the gift of what is given. That is, that the korban has to be made with what you've been given. But it is the last challenge, the third issue of importance, sacrificing of oneself, that has proven and continues to prove to be the greatest challenge that has been faced by every generation of Jews in whatever culture we have found ourselves. The Jewish people has never existed in isolation from all other cultures of the world. From the moment of our formation as a nation in Mitzrayim, through the biblical and Talmudic periods, through the medieval period of the Rishonim, and obviously in the post-Enlightenment world, every culture, for better or worse, has left an imprint upon us. The real challenge is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The real challenge in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resisting that cultural pull. When the values, attitudes, and priorities of that culture are in conflict with what God wants from us. Even when one is fully observant of halacha, this is a serious issue. There is no shortage of Jews who observe all of Hilchos Shabbos and Kashrus, etc., but at their core they have absorbed the values of a foreign culture. Or in the words of Yeshayahu Anavi, Vayomer Hashem Ya'an ki nigash ha'om hazeh b'fid uvisfasov kibiduni v'libo richach mimeni. Their mouth, their words are close to me, but their hearts are far away. Vatihi yirasam osi, their fear of me, has been mitzvas anashim lubana, performance of the ritual by rote. This is about showing up, paying up, but not giving oneself up to God. It means refusing to internalize the message of what the Ribbono Shel'olam wants from us, of how he wants us to see the world. It means not orienting one's inner compass towards the poles of Torah, but rather in some other direction. Related to this, but even more problematic, is not only not attempting to internalize and shape one's values in light of Torah, but what is so typical of American religion in general, which is trying to reshape and distort Torah values in light of one's contemporary cultural values and one's feelings. Over 40 years ago, sociologists of religion coined the term Sheilaism. It was a description of American religion. It was named after a person dubbed Sheila, as she described herself. Quote, I believe in God. I'm not a religious fanatic. I can't remember the last time I went to church. My faith has carried me a long way. It's Sheilaism, just my own little voice. It's just trying to love yourself and be gentle with yourself. You know, I guess, take care of each other. I think he would want us to take care of each other. This may be very nice, and it may even feel very good, but it is not worship of God. It is worship of the self. This has become particularly problematic in a world, to use Andrew Sullivan's description, where politics is the new religion. A world in which for so many Jews, both on the right and the left, party affiliation determines their values, which leads them to assert in essence that Torah values are either Republican or Democratic, depending on your leaning. It should be stressed that someone who truly serves God and not themselves does not attempt to pour God and his Torah into the vessels of one political party or another, but rather sets aside their own predilections and asks, what does God want from us as communicated through our tradition? It means accepting that man was created in the image of God and not trying to recast God in the image of man. It means that when analyzing all of the hot button and non-hot button issues of the day, abortion, gun control, economic justice, capital punishment, social justice, LGBTQ, etc., we do our best to use Torah and only Torah as the lens through which we analyze things, and not impose some other value system upon Torah. It means Adam ki yakriv mikem. We need to make ourselves the sacrifice. Yakriv mikem. A true sacrifice to God is when we are the sacrifice, not in the literal sense, but in the metaphorical sense. This process is not always straightforward. Many of the issues of Torah values, as I've said to you many times, are nuanced and complex, and translating them into a contemporary context isn't simple. But sacrifice for God, true service of God, demands that we acknowledge the challenge and approach it with honesty and humility. And be open to the possibility that we will need to change our views and values because it turns out that they are foreign weeds in God's vineyard. We need to be open to having to bring a sacrifice to God, mikem, from ourselves, from those things that we hold in our innermost parts. Many years ago, I either heard or read Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zal citing the Chazon Ish that the quintessential Isha Halacha, halachic personality, is someone who had been practicing halacha one way all their life and then discovers that they've been doing it wrong. And instead of digging in and defending one's prior practice, they accept that they were wrong and change. Now, I know that there's an important caveat here. Minog Yisrael Torah, and sometimes what appears to be halachically incorrect textually, is in fact long-standing Minog Yisrael, and historical practice has been to legitimize such minhagim. But there are cases when the ignorance is that of an individual, not of a tzibur. And an ish halacha doesn't rationalize and defend, but changes. Borrowing this, I would say that the quintessential servant of God is the one who has assumed certain perspectives and values for all of their life, and then upon honest reflection recognizes and acknowledges that they have been wrong. Adam ki akriv mikem. And it is for this reason that I believe that the Torah chooses the word Adam here, and most of the time, nefesh, because ish and isha refer only to our external characteristics. But Adam refers to the image of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Tzelem Elokim, in which each one of us was created. Vayivra Elokim es ha'adam b'tzalmo. And nefesh refers to our innermost self. We don't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu only as ish v'isha, our external manifestation, but rather with our inner core, our nefesh, the inner spark that embodies the divine image. Adam ki yakriv mikem, karban l'Hashem. Good Shabbos.